Jeremiah 31. We started last week talking about all things new. Talk today about the new covenant. Contrast it with the old covenant. We talked about a new kingdom. There's the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. When you're born again, you move from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. You're in a new kingdom. We talked about the new creation. You become a new creature. You have a new nature. We talked about God being your father. Satan was your father. Now you have a new father. So those three things we highlighted last week, your new father, your new nature, and the new kingdom. Now let's talk about the new covenant. Verse 31 of chapter 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be my covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. The highlight that I want you to see is verse 31. God promised, I will make a new covenant. There's an old covenant, a new covenant. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Some years ago, Wayne was working altars, and a gentleman got born again, and he was the altar counselor that helped him. He was not American by birth, and he had not seen a Bible. His neighbor had given him a Bible, invited him to church. He came to church, got born again, and had started reading his Bible. So he came to Wayne several weeks later. We still see him around. He doesn't go to church anymore. We still see him at restaurants some. He's a fine man. He said, I noticed this Bible has an old part and a new part. Wayne said, yes. He said, what good is the old part? That's a very good question. What good is the old part? That's when I dismissed myself and said, Wayne, answer your question, and I'm gone. Seemed good to me. There was an old covenant. There's a new covenant. Look at verse 6, chapter 8. Now hath he, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant. The new covenant is better. Why? Which was established upon better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant. Now, verses 8, 9, and 10 are the identical verses in Jeremiah that we just read. Look down at verse 13. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. That is the word obsolete. Now, that which decayeth, which is a different word, also the word obsolete, and waxes old, is ready to vanish away or disappear. In that he saith an obsolete, a new covenant, he hath made the first covenant obsolete. Now, that which is obsolete and old is ready to disappear. What happened to the old covenant? Now look at Matthew. We'll lay some groundwork here in the scripture so you can see. The old covenant, it says, became obsolete and disappeared. No longer in usage. Now that's very important to us today because there's always somebody that attaches themselves to old covenant law, brings that law into the new covenant, and tries to live their life by the old covenant. But the old covenant law, clearly according to the word of God, has disappeared. It served its purpose. It had a purpose. It served its purpose. Now, if I had a great invention but no money, and I came to you and you had plenty of money, and I said, this is what I want to do, and you agreed to finance me, and we drew the papers up legally, and we were going to make a prototype. You were going to pay for the prototype. You were going to pay for all the research and all the legal papers to patent it. Now, that's what our contract detailed. Now, once we've done that, and I get the model out, and you see that it does work, and you see that it's probably marketable, it probably will be a good deal for everybody concerned, the first contract is obsolete simply because it's fulfilled. We did that. We made the prototype, we did all the research, we filed the patent papers. Now we need a new covenant. And the old covenant is obsolete in that it had a particular purpose, and that purpose was fulfilled, and when that purpose was fulfilled, it passed away. Now there are those people who want to go by old covenant dietary laws, but you don't have to do that. Because the new covenant, you're not a child of the old covenant. You're not a product of the old covenant. You did not and have never walked under the old covenant. It had purpose. It has purpose in your life. But you're not legally bound to all the laws and the dictates of the old covenant. It is obsolete. It has passed away. It did fulfill his purpose. Now, this is what Jesus said about his ministry, chapter 5, verse 17, 18. Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Just like we fulfilled, that's 5:17, we fulfilled that contract and the prototype is ready and the patent papers have been filed. That thing has been fulfilled, so we need a new contract because that one has served its purpose. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It had a particular purpose. That purpose had to be fulfilled. Jesus came, fulfilled that covenant. It became obsolete. It passed away. We were at a dinner of some kind. A man across from us was a pastor, and they served ham. And he looked at me and he said, aren't you people Christians? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're not going to eat that, are you? I said, yes, sir. He said, I certainly wouldn't eat ham. Scripture forbids ham. The Old Testament forbids ham. You are not a product of the Old Covenant. You are a new covenant. The new covenant says all things can be eaten if received with thanksgiving and prayer. Yes. You are a new covenant child of God. You are in a new kingdom. The new covenant is the law of that kingdom. You have a new father. He gave you a new covenant. He wants us to walk under the new covenant. For us, the Bible is best read from the back to the front. I had a little friend that got born again. She started like everybody probably does. She started in Genesis, and by the time she got halfway through Genesis, she's totally and completely discouraged. Noah just about did her in. And she called me and said, I have to talk to you. And so we talked about it. I said, you should start at the end. This is an unusual book that's read better from back to front. I like to read my books that way anyway. I like to see if they're worth reading. Go at the back and think, okay, this might be worth it, and then start in the front. Now look back at Hebrews 8. The old covenant is obsolete. It had a particular purpose. Let's find out the purpose. Well, let's look at Romans 3. Now, let's find out the purpose and give you three purposes. Now, keep in mind, those purposes have been fulfilled. The first two have been totally, completely fulfilled. There was nothing wrong with that covenant. We don't need it anymore. Not to live by. Verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law says, the law, the old covenant, it says to those who are under the law, you were never and are not under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The first thing the law did, the old covenant did, was to show up your guilt. It was to show you that you were sinful. Verse 20 reiterates that, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Phillips translation says, the law was the straight edge to show us how crooked we were. I like that. Straight edge is a yardstick for you young ladies. You stay up next to the yardstick and you find out how tall or how short you are. One family has very short people under 5 foot, and the teenager who's now approaching driver's license age, her goal in life was to be at least 5 foot one. Nobody in her family had ever done that before. She wanted to be 5 foot one, and the good news is she made 5 foot one. She may make 5 foot two before it's all over. She looks like she's still growing a little bit. That was her goal in life. Well, when you stand up by that yardstick, you can see, did I make it or not? And it says, for all have sinned and come short. The law was to show Israel how short they kept coming. It was not punishment to them. If they fulfilled the law, it was a blessing to them. But if they didn't fulfill the law, it showed them their need. Now look at Job. Let me show you Job chapter 9. Job's Psalms. It was to show them their need, show them how short they were. Now let me tell you about Job. Job lived in the time frame of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did not live near them. It's very unlikely that he knew anything at all about law. He was a righteous man. He did walk with God as he understood the laws of God. We know that from reading chapter 1. But he did not know the Abrahamic covenant. There's no mention that he understood the fullness of God. In fact, we can go through Job and see that he did not understand. But he had a hunger. Now look at verse 28 of chapter 9. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know you will not hold me innocent. There was in Job a sense of guilt, a sense of sin. If I be wicked, why do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water, make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch. Mine own clothes shall abhor me. Job's looking for a solution for sin. He can't find a solution. And then it talks about, God is not a man as I am, that I should answer him. We should come together in judgment. Here's what Job thinks he needs, and he's absolutely profoundly right. Neither is there any daysman. A daysman is an umpire between us that might lay his hand upon us both. One translation goes on to say, would that there were. He's looking for a daysman or an umpire. He's looking for somebody to take God's hand, somebody take his hand, bring two together. He's looking for somebody to reconcile him to Almighty God. Now, the reason that that would happen without sense of law is because every man is a human spirit. Your human spirit was created by God. If you read a book on blood covenants around the world, you can go to tribes that know absolutely nothing about God, have never heard the name of Jesus, and yet they have a covenant of blood of some sort. Because the spirit man was created by God. It had a fellowship with God before you came to the point of accountability, the church world calls it. And your heart strives to get back to God. And in that striving, there's a sense somehow of sacrifice, of needed sacrifice. And Job had that sense of needed sacrifice. And he said, if I washed with clean water, it wouldn't help me. He doesn't know what to do. He says, I need somebody to help me approach the throne of God. Well, that was the purpose of law. The purpose of law was to show them their need, to show them their guilt, to bring them to Christ, to recognition of Christ as the answer. Now we have that in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 23. Before faith came, that's before Jesus, for faith in Jesus, we were kept under the law, or protected by the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. There's something that's going to be yet be revealed. He said, before faith came, we were kept or guarded by the law. Shut up, that's the word, enclosed by the law. Now, when you have horses, you fence those horses in. You're not doing that to be mean or ugly. You're doing that for their protection. You're doing that because they're going to leave the pasture. Our little dog, the last one that died, had never been out of the yard. When we were out of town, the police came, checked our security alarm, and left our gate open. And she was there, somebody watching her. But she left the yard, never been out of the yard before. And we came home. I called her, and she didn't come. Now, all she knew was you run till you come to the fence, and then you turn around. She's lived her life that way. And that's what the law did. You run till you run into the law, and then you say, up, you have to turn around. That's what the law did. So our neighbor, I found her on the road. She's all the way, we're 100 yards from the road, so in those short little legs, she'd gone a good distance. She's walking up and down the road when the neighbor, the only neighbor we have, by the way, spotted her and took her into the porch. Called around to see if she was mine, and they said, oh, no, Becky doesn't have any dogs. I've had dogs for 30 years. This is my first decade without dogs. Not sure I like it either. But we eventually retrieved her and brought her home. But her idea of safety was you run to the fence. But when she ran and went right through the gate, she kept running. She's running for a fence, but there isn't one. Now, the law was like that fence. It said they were shut in by the law for their protection. That's all. And then it says, but the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law protected the people. It gave the people some guidelines. It showed them they were exceedingly abundantly sinful. It showed them they needed a Savior. It was a guideline to them. Now, this word schoolmaster is unique, and it doesn't have to do with the teacher of the class. It is the servant who took the students to class. Every household, most households would have a servant, somebody in charge of the children. And this person is the person that took the children to the school. And the law was what took us to Christ. It took them to Christ. It showed them their need of Christ. It showed them they were guilty. It showed them they were sinners. It kept them safe and protected if they will obey that law. And it showed them that there was somebody coming. Job even said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and again shall stand. Job had a lot of things wrong, but he had a few things right. And we're glad about that. That's the purpose of the law. Now look at 1 Corinthians 10 and let me show you what the law means to you today. To you. You are not old covenant. The old covenant has what? Become obsolete. The old covenant is what? It's as obsolete as washboards for laundry. 1 Corinthians 10. Thank God. My daddy remembers those. He was the baby boy of a good number of boys, and he was the one that helped his mama with the washer because he's the one that was home the longest. And he remembers those. My granddaddy had a pump in the backyard, and you'd fill the wash tub with water, and then you'd put the clothes in it, take out your washboard and your lye soap. That was really hard work. Aren't we glad that's become obsolete? Aren't we glad? I remember Mama using the wringer wash machine because my sister put her hand through the wringer. That was not a good deal, by the way. Aren't we glad that's obsolete? Yes. Why do we want to go with something inferior when there's something superior? The old covenant cannot do, did not do what the new covenant can do. It fulfilled its purpose. And here's what it is to us today. Verse 6, these things are written are examples. Examples, examples. And then it lists a bunch of things. Look at verse 11. All these happened. All those things listed are things that happened in the old covenant. All these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world came. The word admonition being warning. The old covenant is an example to us. It gives us warning. For instance, you come to the new covenant. You want to criticize the pastor. You want to wonder what he's doing with your money and why they keep the air conditioning so cold and the music so loud, and you want to be critical. And the New Testament says, who are you to judge another man's servant? See, he's not your servant, he's God's servant. And then it says, to his own master he stands or falls, and God's able to make him stand. Now, we have that principle in the New Testament. When we look back at the Old and we see how critical they were of Moses, and every time they were critical, every time they were complaining, every time they condemned, they put themselves under the curse. They stepped out from under the protective hand of God and put themselves under the curse. So we have the principle of the New Testament and the example of the Old. And you go back and read all that happened to Israel because she kept complaining, kept saying, I wish you hadn't chosen Moses as our leader. You're going to kill us in the wilderness. We need to go back to Egypt. And they stepped out from under God's blessing. God could no longer protect them because they didn't stand with God and with God's chosen leadership. See, so we have the principle in the New, the example in the Old, the example to show us, to warn us. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be critical. You just don't want to be critical, especially of leadership, you know. But to you, the Old Covenant is simply an example. You get in, you read the Psalms and the praises of David. Think about what an example he was, sitting in the pasture, caring for the sheep. I've been where they have all those sheep. I mean, you could sing till Jesus came, lest it's time to move the sheep in. Nobody's hearing you. Nobody's listening to you. You can worship. You could praise God. You are alone in the pasture. Wayne thought he'd take a picture of the sheep. The sheep are color-coded. They herd them together, and they have dots on them. Beautiful. Fairly large, about like this. Yellow, green, blue dots tells ownership. And then those that have a yellow dot are carrying our calves, carrying our lambs. And so he was going to go up the hill and take a picture of all the sheep and their dots. But they saw him coming and they ran, because sheep are very skittish. They run from things. And the one thing you need to run from is the letter of the law, because you're not under the law. And you never were under the law. And don't let anybody take you back there. And that's what Paul said to Galatians. How foolish you are, having begun in the spirit, are you made complete by the flesh? The flesh wants to obey, wants to have rules and regulations. But we're children who follow the spirit. Follow the spirit. Well, now you have the purpose. The purpose of the law was to show us guilty. It was to fence us in. It was to guard us. It was to bring us unto Christ. But if you look at Galatians, it says, once Christ came, we don't need the law. So very clear there. I was going to bring my New Living. Forgot it. You can read it in the New Living Translation. It's so beautifully worded. Verse 25, chapter 3. After faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. After faith has come, it says the law was our schoolmaster, verse 24. When faith came, we're no longer under the schoolmaster, no longer under the tenets of law. That's really, really good news. Now we go to Hebrews 8. It says our covenant, the new covenant, is better. Let's find out why it's better. It says it's better. You know, if you're cooking something, what you do is somebody there and you have a sample, it says, does that taste all right? Do you have enough salt in it? And you put a little, and they said, no, I think it needs a little more salt. And you put a little more salt in, and they say, oh, that's better. Better. You know the old saying, good, better, best, never let it rest till the good is better and the better is best. You don't know that one? Well, it says the New Testament, the new covenant, is better. Why is it better? It's better. First of all, you can be born again. Would that be better? The old covenant people were not born again. When you follow the old covenant law, you're following people that were not born again, did not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We're not new creatures. Job was not a new creature. He did not have the Holy Spirit in him. He did not have the Holy Spirit upon him. He did not know Abrahamic covenant. The fact that he had a desire to be reconciled is because of the nature of God within him. It's just that simple. Well, being born again is a lot better than not being born again. These people were looking forward to the cross, but you can look back at the cross, receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're born again. Now, when you're born again, that's so much better. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Would that be better? You go to the old covenant, if they wanted to know anything, they couldn't know anything for themselves personally. The only person that knew the Spirit was the prophet, the priest, and the king. That's why when Saul's daddy lost the donkeys, he sent Saul and the servant out to find the donkeys. They couldn't find the donkeys. They said, we better find the prophet. They found the prophet and said, where are the donkeys? We can't find the donkeys. And he said, go home. Your daddy's already found them. Because nobody knows the Spirit but the prophet, priest, or king. That means anything that I'd want to know, I'd have to find the prophet. Where is he? Well, you know, he might be two or three towns away. And when you're walking 30 miles on foot, anybody prepared for that? It's a long way. But now I have the Holy Ghost in me. This is a better covenant. Better. It's better. It's better. I have the Holy Ghost in me. Now, he's in there for purpose. Look at John 14. Let's just prove this. I don't think you need any proof, but I will prove it anyway. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're born again. The Holy Ghost is in you. You are new. Would it make any sense for God to give you new life and make you a new creature so you could live under an old covenant? Huh? Verse 16, I pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, he dwells with you and shall be in you. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Ghost is going to come and dwell in them. He had dwelt with them in that they had known the Holy Ghost through the ministry of Jesus because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So there's coming a day when he's going to be in you. And then if we read 1 John, he has a job to do in you, and he's doing his job. It says he's going to teach you all things. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. There are a number of verses that say the same thing. We'll just read this one. This is a better covenant. It's better. But there's nothing wrong with the old. Did its thing. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. The unction is the Holy Ghost working in you. You know all things. Anything you need to know, you can now know. Old covenant, if they didn't know, they didn't know. And if the prophet didn't know, hadn't heard from God, then nobody knows. But anything you need to know now, because you're born again, you're a new creature with a new father in a new kingdom under a new covenant. It's like having a new house with new furniture and a new car in the garage. That work for you? Me, I'd just be happy with new paint. Just gonna have, Lord, can I have new paint? I'd like new paint. I don't have a garage, so I'm not worried about that. Anything you need to know. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You have the right to ask of God yourself, to say, God, I don't know. I need to know. What can I do? Almighty God, you have a new spirit, the Spirit of the living God, who knows everything, who will tell you what you need to know, what you ask of him, and give you great wisdom. It's all about being new. It's all about recognizing the new, walking in the new, letting the new guide your life, not living in the old. It wouldn't make any sense for me to marry Wayne and go home every night and live at my daddy's house. First of all, my daddy's house is empty. And when you go back to the old covenant, you go back to an empty covenant because it's obsolete. Now there's things at daddy's. There's things there. People come and go there. We have a guard and watching and security. My two called my Russian coats over there. I ran out of room at the house. My coats are there. My boots are there. There are things there. But it wouldn't make any sense to go over there and live. It's empty. Refrigerator's empty. Plants in the house are all dead now. Those we didn't move. We keep the yard watered. We have a wonderful neighbor. If you pull in daddy's carport, you will be reported instantly. Why do you want to go back to the old? When you're new. You are new. You're in a new kingdom. You have a new father. You have a new nature. A new covenant. A new agreement with God. A covenant's an agreement with God. It's a will. It's a testament. You have the Holy Ghost in you. But it's bigger than that. You have the Holy Ghost upon you. Only the prophet, priest, or king knew the Holy Ghost at all. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. Upon you. Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's different than him being in you. He's upon you by your own choice. And that's up and on. You like that? That's what that means. Holy Ghost is here. And when you ask him to fill you, he comes up and on. Up and on. Comes upon you. Now that's so you can be a better witness. You can move with God. You can obey the orders of God. You can be valuable in the kingdom of God. It says you shall receive power or ability. You have heaven's ability. They didn't have heaven's ability. This is better. This is better. This is better. I ate the best pound cake. I only had 2 bites because I don't really eat cake the other day. Wayne and I share cakes, what we do. I take 1 bite. If it's really good, I take 2. And he eats the rest. And that's good for me and good for him. And I would have had the best pound cake I've eaten in years. Of course, I haven't had any pound cake in years, too. That could explain it. But I thought, my. I don't know why you would want to go down and buy something in a box if you ever ate that. You can go to the store and buy those in a box, you know. You done that? Desperation. Desperate human being with a flaky mind. And you went down and got something out of a box. Why would you want to do that if you had something new and better? I'm telling you, that was good. The Holy Ghost comes upon you so you can be of service. Now look at Hebrews, where we were. He gives us a couple important things here. Verse 10, chapter 8. The law of God, we'll talk about the new law next week, I believe. The law of God is now in you. Verse 10, this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart. Now, where was old covenant law? It was on two tablets of stone, Exodus 31:31. Now, the law of God, what I need to know about God, is now in me. He said, I'm going to write it in their heart, or in their spirit, or in their inward man. And then my spirit informs my mind, and my mind is renewed in what God is saying, and my heart is full of what God is saying. By the Spirit of God who is in me, who teaches me, who tells me anything I need to know, who instructs me in the Scripture, who will even admonish me and warn me if I'm headed in the wrong direction. He'll let me know. You don't want to do that. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. Oh, thank God. See, this is a totally new thing. Old covenant people were just in the dark. Said, go get Moses. They lined up all day long to talk to Moses. When Moses' father-in-law was there, his name was Jethro, he says, what are you doing? He said, you will wear away. He said, well, I'm listen to the people. He'd judge them one at a time, tell them what to do. They couldn't know what to do. They didn't have God in them. They weren't born again. They weren't new. You are new. One thing, you get up in the morning, you should lift your hands to heaven and say, I know what to do. The Holy Ghost is in me. He knows, and he's telling me. I'm listening. So I'm listening, Holy Ghost. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? I'm listening, Holy Ghost. They had to go talk to Moses, stand in line all day long. That's when Moses appointed some helpers. His father-in-law said, you're going to have some people to help you, and you only judge the big things. Train these people and let them judge. He said, you need to be for the people before God. I love that. In other words, you need to be in the presence of God on behalf of these people. You know, the more people you talk to, usually the less of God you know. God just kind of spindles out, and by person number 12, you're thinking, get it over with, lady, just say it. It's just that way. Unless the anointing of God is really strong upon you, unless that's your job as a counsel in the kingdom. Isn't it nice? You don't have to make an appointment. You can make an appointment if you're a desperate human being. If you can't figure it out, you can make an appointment, but you don't have to because God is in you. And he comes upon you. And that's new. That's totally new. It's totally new. It's the new way. Why don't you walk in the new way? You know, when they built the parkway across our city, one day I had to carry dinner. I called and said, I'm near. I told them what restaurants I'm near, and they said, well, bring me Piccadilly. So I did. Well, it's a 45-minute trip from Piccadilly to their house. Only on the parkway, it's only 17 minutes. And I got there exactly 17 minutes. I timed it because I wanted to see how much quicker it was. And they said, I thought you said you were at Piccadilly. I said, I was. I said, how'd you get here? I said, I took the new road. I love people who haven't grown up in God. They said, didn't that cost you a dollar? I said, yeah, but you know what? I had a dollar. God gave me a dollar, and I gave it to the parkway man. I was glad to do it. Took the new road. Took the high road. You know, the Old Testament says, and you don't. If you get stuck back in the Old Testament, you're going to get confused. It says God's ways are higher than your ways. And people take that verse and say, you never understand God. His ways are higher. I know you won't understand everything, but you will understand what you need to know, what perfects your life, because God promised to perfect all that concerns you. And you'll understand enough to live your life successfully. And they take that one verse and they write a song. We'll understand it better by and by. Well, I know there are things we're going to understand better by and by, because we see through a glass darkly. There are things that we'll never know and understand. But if I need to know, if it brings success to my life, there's a new road, and it's the road of the Spirit, and the Spirit dwells in me, and I'm a new creature, and God's law is written on the inside. That's why I can be led by the Spirit, because the law of God is there. The Spirit can read me the law of God that's written. We don't have to find tablets of stone. Can you imagine how many libraries we'd have to have, how many experts we'd have to train if you had to come to the church every time and give them your situation? They had to pull out all the legal law books and find out what applied to your life. If you call like at a doctor's office and they say, we can see you on December the 12th, your problem might have killed you by then. No, it's on the inside. Thank God the law is in you. This is said in several places. It's also said in Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Lord. I'll put my law in their heart and in their mind while I write them. God writes in your heart. The day you're born again, he wrote his law. Now, there's only one New Testament law. That's the good news. We'll cover that next week. But the Old Testament had lots of laws, lots of rules, lots of regulations, lots of sacrifices, lots of feast days. Only God only told us to do one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. That's all. Everything measured by that yardstick. If you come short of that, you need to ask for forgiveness and come back to that yardstick. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself. That's it. One law. That's part of the beauty of what God did in you. We have only one law. I'm not covering that too well today because I want to camp on that next week, I think. But look here, what else happened? Verse 17, their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, remission. This is what's new, that's so glorious, so wonderful. Remission. Remission is when you blot out, and we erase all this. Afterwards, it's remitted, it's blotted out. And God is going to remit sins. Now, that's something he didn't do in the Old Covenant. He did not remit sins. He covered them with the blood of the animals. But it's very clear in this chapter, early in this chapter, that you can't remit sins with the blood of animals. It takes the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 1 of this very chapter. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the image of those things can never. See that word never? With those sacrifices which they offered year by year, make the sacrifices, the comers thereunto perfect. For then when they have ceased to be offered because the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. Now one thing happened, it's remission. It affected our consciousness of sin. Now you understand if I cut my arm and I have a Band-Aid over it, or they do stitches, or I have surgery, you're aware of what's under the Band-Aid. What's under the bandage. I mean, you know what's under there. There's something under there. See, in the old covenant, on the blood of animals, though, it shielded their sin from Almighty God. It covered that sin. They were always aware. There was always a consciousness and awareness of where they had been. And every year they came to the Day of Atonement, which was their big sacrifice, one of their big sacrifices. They came to the Day of Atonement, where a sacrifice of blood was offered for the sins of all the people. And it says there was a continual consciousness of sin. Every day, that sacrifice, you had that whole day. And all of those sins are still under there. Oh, under blood, yes, but they're under there. Still under there. Now you have a covenant that remitted your sin, and there's no more consciousness, no more awareness of sin. You don't have to be aware of what you did, what you said, where you were, how wrong you were. You can forget it. You can just forget it. Thank God for that. That's better. You're born again. The Holy Ghost dwells on the inside. You can be full of the Holy Spirit and walk in His ability. He'll teach you. You have the law of God in you. And there's only one law. You don't have to deal with a multitude of laws and regulations. And your sins have been blotted out, totally blotted out, totally remitted. And you don't have any more consciousness or awareness of what went wrong. And the one thing that Hebrews 9 and 10 says in several places is the consciousness of sin that was so terrific. Can you imagine if you could constantly remember every wrong thing you did, the lie you told in sixth grade, all the way up to the ugly word, unkind word you said last week. That'd be heavy, wouldn't it? My, that'd be heavy, wouldn't it? But we have remission. It's new. It's new. Remission is new. Let me show you how new it is. You can keep your finger there. We might be back. Well, I don't know if we'll be back or not. Look at Luke. I always say we'll be back. We don't go back. This is the ministry of John the Baptist, chapter 1, verse 76, 77. John the Baptist to be the prophet of the highest, go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge unto salvation by the remission of sins. This is totally new. He's going to tell the people about remission. And with remission, comes the blotting out. My, that's better, isn't it? That's better. That's the message of John the Baptist, is that Jesus has come and there is going to be the remission of sins. Now look back at Hebrews 9 and let's read a couple about the consciousness. Because one thing that trips people up constantly, they ask God to forgive them and then they rehearse the details for the next 6 months. If I hadn't said, if I hadn't done, I want you to leave today and forget it. Because you're under a new covenant with a new father, a new law, the Spirit of God inside, and remission, which is totally new. There hadn't been any remission. Everything had been covered up with animal blood, but it hadn't been remitted. And God says, I'm going to forget it, you can forget it. Now look, it talks about the Old Covenant, chapter 9, verse 9. The Old Covenant was a figure for the time then present. Say then present, not now, then, not now, in which were offered gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You could bring your animal sacrifice, but it did not change the inward man. It did not change your consciousness, your awareness of what had been done. Look at it again. Was a figure for the time then present, not now. We're not Old Covenant. In which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And then you have verse 2 of chapter 10, talking about Old Covenant sacrifices. Then would they have ceased to be offered because the worshipers once purged have no more consciousness of sin. When Jesus purged you, when he cleansed you, he remitted your sin, and you do not walk under the guilt and the consciousness of where you've been, what you've done, or what you said. This is new. It's gloriously new. It's wonderfully new. I'm a new creation. See, we need to walk like new people, talk like new people. Instead of dragging through the mud. What's the songwriter say? Through the flame and through the mud, or how'd that song go? Oh, we don't even care. Now look at Romans 8. He was probably talking about persecution, so we won't criticize him for that. But we don't live our life dragging through the mud. We are new. Led by the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God in you, and you have the leadership of that Spirit. Is that glorious? Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Ah, it's a privilege of this new covenant. New covenant. New covenant. Now look at the law of the new covenant. John 13. I'm a new creation. I have a new father. I'm in a new kingdom. The Spirit dwells within. Jesus gave us this new law. Only one law. 13:34. You know, what do you say when you see somebody you haven't seen them for a long time? Hey, what's new? You don't ever say, hey, what's old? Do you? Let the Old Testament be obsolete. Let it speak to your heart and give you examples of the principles in the new. Don't let it tell you what to eat. I don't care if you don't like that scriptural. Don't let it hang guilt over your head. If you walk under the Old Covenant, you're going to have guilt all the time. Guilty, guilty, guilty. I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have. I wish I hadn't. Oh, if I didn't have. Oh, my. Next thing you know, you're not going to be 5'1". You're going to be 4'10". Or 4'10", you might be 4'6". I don't know. You're going to be shrinking up because of the guilt, because guilt is heavy. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all, and he says, now forget it. Don't carry the awareness, the consciousness of that. Don't let that condemn you. There's therefore now no condemnation. Consciousness is a condemnation. It's the condemnation that comes because you keep remembering that. You keep thinking about that. Now the devil will keep bringing it up, but you just shut him up. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another. This is the new law. Just one law, brand new law, that love one another as I've loved you. Shh. Will that work for you? If we have a new covenant in a new kingdom, why would God establish a new kingdom with an old covenant? New covenant, new kingdom, new father, new nature, new law, new spirit. Shh. It's working, it's working. That's how I live. I say I live because he's risen. When he was risen, that's what happened to me. I received that for myself. I stepped from the old into the new. I don't walk in the old. I appreciate the old. I see what it did. You get that? Are you new?
Yes.
How long are you going to keep saying, I don't know why I did that? This would be a good day to confess it and forget it, you know? Wouldn't it? You know, you can always look back, especially when your children are mine. Joel's going to be 40 this next February. And you can look back and you think, oh, my children are adults, you know, middle-aged adults. You think, did we do that? Did we cause that? Should we have done anything different? You can just forget it, because Jesus can fix it. I'm telling you, lady, Jesus can fix it. I don't care how you lived your life. I wish you'd have done better, but some of us didn't do any better. Some of us that did pretty good still could have done better. Good, better, best, you know. But when you lift holy hands. They weren't lifting holy hands in the Old Testament. They didn't have holy hands. You can lift holy hands, it says. Shh. I said, Jesus, fix it. Fix it for me. Fix it. Could you fix it? He said, Becky, I'll perfect all that concerns you. And I said, okay, Lord, here's my first concern. Jesus paid for half. Jesus paid it all, but he wants you to remember it all the days of your life. Don't you ever forget how much I paid for you. Don't you ever forget all this ugliness. No, he wants you to. He says, I'm going to blot that out. Blot that out. Don't have to have any consciousness, any condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation. Those who are in Christ, if you walk with God, you don't have to be condemned about your past, what you did or what you said. You are new. You are a new kingdom. You have a new father. You have a forgiveness, a remission of sins that was never available before. Now, I'm for all of these secondhand stores that you can go to. But I would never go to a secondhand store if I was carrying $500 in my pocket. I'd go buy me something new. And the new things of our kingdom are available, and they're absolutely free. When you go into the old covenant and live your life under guilt and condemnation, or any of the laws there or there, you go to the secondhand store. When what you needed is free. We thank you, Father. Mighty, mighty Father. How great you are, how gracious you are to us. Impact us with the new. Let us walk in the new. We're talking about the new so we can walk in it. So we can live in it. So we can pass it on to others. So we can help them with their guilt and their condemnation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.